Morning to all of you. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Special greetings to our visitors. We're glad you're here this morning. Trust that you have been able to feel ministered to and have felt encouraged. If you would, I'd like you to open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to begin by reading that chapter. First Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Chapter has a lot of things in it. Your mind goes a lot of different directions as you read these verses, I'm sure. This morning, I'd like to concentrate on verses that we know very well, verses 12, actually just verse 12. But I read the whole chapter to kind of give the context of why Paul would say what he did to Peter, to Timothy, in encouraging him to be an example of the believers. The title of my talk this morning is called "To Be an Example." And you know, I think this morning we sometimes take that whole idea of being an example and we put it on to the older generation. We put it on to those that are older and we say, well now come on, these older ladies sitting here, these older men sitting here, they need to be a good example, because everybody is watching them. But you know, that whole call to be an example goes all the way down to the youngest child here that is able to understand what is right and what is wrong. You are responsible to be an example to those people who are around you. Young people, you are responsible to be an example to your fellow youth. Young married men, women, it doesn't matter who you are. You have a responsibility to be an example of the believers. To be an example of the believers. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about example. But maybe you don't want to be an example. Maybe you think it's unfair that you are an example or that you have to be an example. But the sobering thing about life here is that you are an example. There are people who are looking at your life right now and they're saying, okay, that's what that man, that's what that lady is doing. That's what my mom is doing. That's what my dad is doing. That's what my brother is doing, my sister, whoever it is. And I think that looks pretty good. That's working. I'm going to do it like they are. Or, that looks like fun. That looks like an exciting journey. That looks like an exciting experience. So I'm going to try that too. And they do. And we sit back and we want to say, well, okay, that's what he decided. That's his problem. That's his decision. What am I responsible for that for? I didn't make that decision. I didn't force that person to do that inappropriate thing, as it were. That was his decision. It's his problem. He'll stand before God someday and answer to that. You are exactly right. He will stand before God and answer for that. And I don't know exactly how we will answer as it relates to being a bad example or a good example. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if God will call us on the carpet, as it were, if we were a bad example to someone and caused them to go the wrong direction. I fear that we feel like we won't, that God won't. That we'll just, it's their problem, not ours. But however that is, Paul told Timothy, you need to be an example of the believers. People need to see a life in you that is worthy of being followed. You know, everything we do, just practically everything we do, is a result of an example of some kind. Maybe it's an example you've observed. Maybe it's an example that you were taught. But most of what you do is not self-created. You didn't figure it all out on your own. I remember discussions in Poland between my wife and Lolita, the other married lady there, about applesauce. And they wouldn't argue about it, but they definitely had their opinions about whether the applesauce should be white or whether it should be red. And where did they learn that from? Where did they get that from? They got that from their mothers. I'm sure they did, and you ladies are probably all sitting here saying, yeah, it's got to be red or it's got to be white. I don't really care about that. But the fact of the matter is, you learned that. You gained that as a result of watching the way your mom did it. That example, we don't necessarily think of that as an example. But in a sense, it is. If we go to the Old Testament, to the story of Ruth. Ruth and Naomi. Naomi went to Moab with her husband, and you know the story. Elimelech died, and Naomi's sons died. The sons married first, and then the sons died. Ruth was left with these two daughters-in-law. And at some point in that journey, Naomi was left with these two daughters-in-law. And at some point in that journey, Naomi decided it was time for her to go back to Israel. And so she did. She told her two daughters-in-law, she said, you stay here. This is your home country. I'm going to go back to my home country. And with much weeping, the one stayed. But Ruth told Naomi, she said, I'm not going to stay. I'm going to go with you. Why did she want to go with Naomi? I don't know that the Bible tells us, but I venture to guess, and I believe, she wanted to go with Naomi because Naomi was an example that she wanted to follow. She wanted to stay with Naomi. She told Naomi, she said, don't entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. She saw something in Naomi that she treasured. And she said, in her heart, she said, I want to stay with this woman. I want to go with her. Do you suspect that Naomi was a bad example for Ruth and she wanted to follow that bad example? We know as we read the story that that wasn't the case. But there was something going on between Ruth and Naomi. Did Naomi realize that she had been such an example to Ruth? I don't think she did. I think she was surprised when Ruth responded to her the way she did when Naomi said, stay here, this is your home, this is your people. This is where you were born. This is where you've grown up. Stay here. This is where you belong. Ruth said, no. I'm going with you. And I don't think Naomi realized that there was a lot of things going back and forth between those two women over the course of time. And I believe that for you and me, my challenge for you this morning is that you can somehow, from these young guys over here, these young ladies over here, you can somehow, to the oldest, you can somehow get the picture of the need of being an example, a good example. The question is not whether you're going to be an example or not. The question is, what kind of an example are you going to be? And Paul's words to Timothy are just pretty clear. He says, Timothy, be thou an example of the believers. And then he goes on and gives a list of things, and we'll look at those here shortly. These words were from an older man to a younger man. Words from a more experienced to a lesser experience. Words from a man who realized to a man who didn't quite have the whole picture yet. Words from one minister of the gospel to another minister of the gospel. Be thou an example. That is, be intentional. Be aware. Be concerned. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in purity. I don't think Paul missed anything here. Our example needs to be complete. And if you're sitting here this morning saying, well, I'm a good example in this area, and I'm a good example in this area, but now in this area, now I'm not quite the way I should be, and I don't really want anybody following me in that area. That misses the point of Paul's words here. Paul's words were to be an example in all of these areas of life, and I believe these areas cover everything that need to be covered. And of course we grow, and of course we're weak. We're not strong in every area. I understand that. And sometimes our example might not be the way it should be. But God wants us to have the kind of a spirit, kind of a heart that realizes the need to be an example and realizes the need to have to, what shall I say, apologize, confess when we aren't the example that we should have been. Some of this comes very real to you as you grow older and you have a family and you have children. And those children begin to copy you, and they copy you even more to the extreme than you wish. You're like, that's not the way. I never was that bad. I never did that. Why are my children doing it this way? Well, you know, it's because they had an example to follow, and they turned around and followed that example, and they don't maybe know where to place the boundary that you place it to where, whatever the situation is. But they followed your example. And suddenly you realize that there are people coming after you and they're doing what they're doing because you're doing it. Or they're not doing what they're not doing because you're not doing it. And we live in a world again that says, oh, don't worry about it, Mom and Dad. That's not, I mean, your children are growing up. They're turning 18. They're becoming adults. It's their problem. But I'm here, I don't believe it is. It's not their problem. If it was the problem of the individual, Paul would not have told Timothy to be a good example. What difference does it make? If it's the individual's problem in Timothy's church, well then, let them just live the way they're supposed to live. Timothy lives the way he should live, they live the way they should live, and everything is fine. Be thou an example. We can't say I don't feel like it today, it's someone else's turn to be example. Those people over there, they're mature, they're older than I am. Let them be the example. Or, you know, those young people, they're just going through their wild time and they don't really need an example. They'll get over it. And the list goes on and on. But God wants us to be an example. So as we think about this morning for just a few minutes, I would like you to just realize, for you to understand, and this goes for everybody of every age, that there is a train, as it were, made up of individuals who are falling behind you, walking behind you, living, being, as it were, behind you, and they're following you. And I trust as you contemplate that, that that truth will impact you to the point where you will be more you will be more concerned about how you live. Paul's words were to Timothy, but they also are to you and to me. Be thou an example. Be thou an example. Example is often used as a teaching method, especially with children. You know, how did you learn to tie your shoes? I am 100% convinced you learned by example. Your mother or your father or your brother or your sister, whoever it might have been, somebody who knew how to do it, sat down with you and they said, okay, here, look, this is the way you do it. You put this string here, you do this, and you have it. And it, the shoe is tied and you can easily untie it. And so they tried and they couldn't do it. And you said, okay, let me show you again. Let me show you the example again. And I don't know, with various children, it takes longer or less. That's not the point. The point is that there was an example that you followed to learn to tie your shoes. In the years that I taught school, examples were used all of the time in my teaching experience. You put the example on the board, on the whiteboard, the blackboard, whatever it was, and you showed the students, this is how you do this math problem. You do this and this and this and this. And they struggled. And so you showed them the example again. You told them, go back into your book. Go back to the beginning of the lesson. There's an example there for you to follow. Now follow that example. And I can tell you that the students who had the discipline to follow that example came out the other end having learned what they were supposed to have learned. Those who did not follow that example decided that there was better examples outside the window or better examples on the other side of the room or whatever the case might be to follow. They came out the other end not having any idea what they were supposed to be doing. Example. Again, I repeat, the question for you this morning is not, will I be an example? The question is, what kind of an example will I be? Just a few thoughts, a few parameters within which to think about this. The first one, and I think I've mentioned this already, but I will mention it again. We are this morning being an example of some kind to someone. And most of the time, you don't know who you are being an example to. You don't know who is watching you. I recall years ago, it was when Allison was just a little girl. She might have been 2. I don't know. I don't remember how old she was. She wasn't very old. I think it was her. Anyway, one of our children who was young. And we had a family get-together. The Smuckers had gotten together somewhere out near the coast, as I recall. And all of my nephews enjoy playing basketball. And we were there at this house, and they decided to get up a basketball game. Right outside, there was a hoop right outside the building. So we got out there, and we were playing basketball, and I was playing with them. And I don't remember what the situation was. This particular child had some kind of a, I don't know if they had poison ivy or something. There was something going on. They were reacting. They had a rash. It was itchy. And it was creating a lot of issues for that child. And I remember I'm out there playing basketball. And my wife came to the door. She'd been trying to help. We'll say it was Allison. I think it was Allison for quite a while. And was not having any success. And she finally came to the door there. And she got my attention. And she said, can you help? Well, I'm playing basketball. I love playing basketball. And we were having a good game, and my nephews and I were having a good time, and I think some of my brothers were playing. But I realized that Laura was about at the end of her rope with this child. So I told my nephews that I got to quit. I got to go help take care of this problem. And I did. Well, I didn't think that much about it. I really didn't. Laura was obviously done, and I needed to help out, and that's what I wanted to do. And I don't remember what happened. I guess we got the problem taken care of. It's not the point of the story. This was 15 or 16 years ago. Well, it was just a few years back. One of those nephews came to me, and it just reminded me of how much you don't know, kind of an example you are, that you're even leaving an example. I had no idea. I really didn't. And I'm not telling this story to say I'm a good example. I'm not all the time. Obviously not. But I wasn't trying to be that time either. But he came to me, or maybe it was another reunion. I'm not sure what it was. But he said, you remember? Remember that basketball game? I said, well, yeah, I do. He said, you remember? You remember what you did? And I remembered that too. I remembered the illustration. I remember the situation. And he said, well, so that's kind of dad I want to be. And again, I'm not patting myself on the back. Please understand that. I'm only telling you that there was 15 years between those two conversations. As far as I know, this young man, he's got 4 children, I believe, 3 children, maybe the 4th one on the way, I'm not sure. And he's a good dad, as far as I know. He takes good care of his children. He takes time for his children. But I was being an example to him, and I had no idea. This morning, you're being an example to people, and you have no idea what it is. That was a good example, thank the Lord. But it's awful when you suddenly realize down the road that you were a bad example. There is something in your life that shouldn't be there, and you know it shouldn't be there. And you refuse to get rid of it, and you think nobody knows about it. Until suddenly, down the road, it's like, oh yeah, I've known that for a long time. And you wonder why this individual is doing that. Maybe it's a son, maybe it's a daughter. And you don't understand what's going on, and it turns out that it was because of your bad example. Paul says to Timothy, be thou an example in these areas that he refers to. So remember, we're an example of some kind to someone. Right along with that, we ignore the reality that there are followers. And this will get reminded, you'll get reminded of this from time to time. You really will. Again, just a little story. This happened at Bible school this past winter, I think. I was up in the balcony. Those of you that have been at Bible school, you know how that is. Up in the balcony there in the gym area. And Amanda was up there, and she was wanting somebody to play catch with her. So I squatted down on the floor, and we were throwing the ball back and forth. And all of a sudden, I noticed that I didn't know what she was doing. I couldn't figure it out. She would squat down on the floor, and then she'd stand up, and she'd rearrange, and she'd squat down again. And then she'd stand up, and she'd rearrange, and she kept doing this. And I was like, what are you doing? I mean, let's just throw the ball back and forth. I didn't ask her. I was just trying to figure this out. And she kept working on this, and all of a sudden, I realized that this little girl is trying to squat down on the floor like me. That's all she was after, and she couldn't quite get her legs in the right position, and she couldn't quite bend her knees, right, and all of that. But she was trying to be like me. Again, an example. There's nothing important about how you squat down and play catch with your child. But the point is that there's people following you, be it your children or others. We will be an influence. We will be somebody's example. And I could tell you other incidents where this has come true to me or clear to me, but I won't for the lack of time. You know, another point to remember is we tend to excuse bad example. Bad example on this hand by holding up a good example and convincing ourselves that the good example is only what those coming after us will follow. They'll only follow this good example. Well, please, 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 don't think that. It's not true. They may follow the good example, but they may follow the bad example as well. This good example is no excuse for bad. Another point, as we think about this, I bear some responsibility for the behavior of others. We try to shift responsibility and say that they are responsible. I referred to this already. They will stand before God and answer for themselves. It's easy to say that they made that decision. I am not responsible for what that person decided. And there's some truth to that. But if they're following our example, we bear responsibility for that. And we can change the bad to the good. Finally, you have been called to this. You have been called this morning to be a good example. Grandparents, parents, teenagers, children, you have been called. The Bible, this verse is to you, not just to Timothy. Be thou an example. A clear calling creates a determination to achieve against even the greatest odds and in the face of intense struggle. A lack of calling establishes a clear disconnect between the situation and my involvement in it. It becomes an easy escape route. Can you get a hold of the idea? Can you get a hold of the truth that you have been called to be an example? It's not just an idea that's pasted up here on the wall somewhere for you to think about, for you to consider as something maybe might be good, or sometimes it's good, or it's good while I have children at home, and after I don't have children at home, it doesn't matter if it's this. I don't know where you might go with that. It's not. It's a calling. It's just important of a calling as somebody who has been called to go to the jungles of Africa to share the gospel. You have been called to be an example. Paul gives this instruction to Timothy, and then he gives him a list of areas that he thinks would be good for Timothy to consider. First one is to be an example in word. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath. In Matthew 12, the Bible says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Colossians 4 says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. James chapter 3 talks about the tongue and all of the things that we can do with the tongue. Paul says, Timothy, be an example to the believers in the way you talk, the things that you say, the stories that you tell, the jokes that you tell, the words that you say when something doesn't go right, and you say whatever expressions you have. I remember my grandfather, Orville. Some of you don't know who he was. Some of you do remember him. But one of the expressions that he used, one of the words that he used, when something would not go right, I remember this very clearly. He would say, oh, shucks. Maybe some of you use that term too. I don't know. But I don't think that term has the meaning that we wish it would have as a word that we should use in our language. I haven't looked it up for a while, so I won't say exactly what it means. But I just remember checking into it, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if Grandpa knows what this word means. If you don't know, look it up. I'll have to look it up again, too, because I didn't research that. But those are the kind of words that I'm referring to. Be an example in word. I don't know. The Bible says every idle word that we speak will give an account of. I have no idea how that's going to work. That seems a little bit impossible to me. That for everybody on the whole globe, there seems like it's going to be an endless amount of giving an account because we do an awful lot of talking and we say an awful lot of words. But with God, all things are possible, the Bible tells us. And we don't have to understand just exactly how this is all going to work out. But it is true that there's going to be some accounts given for what we say. Be an example in word. What we say, when we say it, how we say it, where we say it. An example in word. It should be marked with kindness. Spoken with care. Coming from thought. You know, problems come up with our words. We can't pull them back. We say things and all of a sudden we realize, should not have said that. The words cut. Words carry insinuations. Words can be misinterpreted. We wish we could pull it back. We've all been in those shoes. We've all done that. But we can't. And then we have to be an example in word. In being able to apologize. Being able to make right what we have done wrong in with our language. With our speech. Blessings are real possible. Are really possible with this. If we can be the kind of example that we need to be. Words can encourage and lift the spirits. Words can teach. Words can create vision. Words can inform. Words can rescue. Either the spoken word or the written word. And you might wonder, we might wonder this morning, why does Paul say be an example of word in word? Well, you just have to go to the book of James chapter 3 and we won't look at that. But one of the verses there says, the tongue can no man tame, it's unruly evil, full of deadly poison, a fire, a world of iniquity. That's not a very good description of your tongue and your mouth, my tongue and my mouth. And it's a description that gives us a picture of something that's out of control, something that is hugely detrimental if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit. Something that can cause extreme problems, create extreme issues. Something that destroys unless it's under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And Paul tells Timothy, be an example in the way you talk. How many of you would like people to follow your example in speech? You're quick to react. It's my problem sometimes. Somebody says something and bam, I'm right back with a comment. And oftentimes it's a comment that's not well thought. It's a comment that's not doesn't sound very good. It's an aggressive comment. And I would prefer if my children didn't follow that example. And I try to change that. My mother used to always tell me, you need to think. You know, just wait 10 seconds before you talk. And that's extremely good advice. And I think that's part of being an example in word. And you can think, I want you to think of your own life and think about where you're at with that. Be an example in words. The second one there in his list is an example in conversation. That is lifestyle, living habits, relationships. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Peter says in his book, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversations. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You know, an example in conversation, an example in lifestyle. And this gets, there's no way I can talk about all of the different areas this could cover, because it covers a lot of different things. It could even cover your speech. But just in the way you live, be an example of the believers. And again, it's a simple test. Do you want people living like you do? Do you want people walking the same path you're walking in your lifestyle? Do you want people focusing on the same things you focus on in your lifestyle? And if you have a lot of hesitation there, if you have a lot of flags that come up in your mind, then this word from Timothy is for you particularly. To think about. Be an example of the believers in conversation. Avoid the exceptions. In other words, it's my right. I do well here, so I'm allowed this. Nobody will see this. And this time it doesn't matter. And the list could go on and on. Ways that we give ourselves exception to not being too worried about this. Beware of the body language. Beware of the entertainment world. Beware of respect to authority. You know, we sometimes find ourselves looking at others. We look at children, not our children for sure, but we look at other children. We're like, man, where's the respect? We see them tearing up this and tearing up that of somebody else's. We see them not being careful with something they've borrowed. We see them messing up the equipment in somewhere where they are. Just all kinds of things. We're like, man, there's no respect there. I just heard someone say just recently that one thing we need to be thinking about is respecting others around us, respecting people. Be an example in conversation. But you know what? These children, these young people didn't suck this problem of disrespect out of their own thumbs, so to speak. They didn't do that. I'm afraid there's something in my life, there's something in the lives of us adults that must convince them that this is a pattern of life to follow. And again, this is not, some of you are saying, well, I'm young, it doesn't matter. It's those that are 30, 40, 50 that need to worry about this. No, the trouble is, if you're 10, 11, 12, a teenager, there happens to be younger ones looking at you and saying, oh, I see that. I like that individual. And I see that he just talked back to his teacher. Or I see that she just didn't do what her mother told her to do. Or whatever it might be. And they're like, oh, that looks like a good path to follow. You know, there's an example being set here. Be aware of that. People are following you. You know, it's not only the speech, but it's the life. Words alone help, but they really do little. The life that declares loudly and leaves a lasting impact. Be thou an example in conversation. If our lifestyle doesn't back up the words that we say, the words that we are saying are empty, they're even disgusting. To truly be a good example, you need a life that presents a clear pattern to follow. A clear, godly pattern to follow. The next one in this list, Paul to Timothy, is be an example in charity. Be an example in the way you love. The way you express and convey love to the people around you. You say, well, that shouldn't be that difficult. To love is to love. But it's not quite that simple. We are people who were born with a fallen nature, and that fallen nature comes through way too often. And we give love, but it's love with an agenda. It's not the unconditional love that God gives to us. Or we love as a cover-up. Or we love because we have to. Or we love, very similar as to this, another way to say that is as an obligation. It's not a motivation. It's because we know we have to love, so we will. We don't really want to love, but we love because we have to. Well, I'll love you because I don't want you digging into my life and finding out what's there. It becomes a cover-up. Or I'll love you as long as I get whatever out of it. For some reason, Paul said to Timothy, be an example of charity. Be an example of how you live and express love. Explain what it looks like. Be an example of God's love to them. Help them to know. Be an example. Then he goes on. The fourth one is be an example in spirit. There's all kinds of spirits around us. There's the spirit of peace versus the spirit of strife. You know, which of those spirits resides within you? I trust it's the spirit of peace. But do people see the spirit of strife instead? Be an example in spirit. The spirit of respect versus the spirit of rebellion or disrespect. The spirit of commitment versus the spirit of individualism. Spirit of power versus the spirit of fear. The spirit of the servant versus the spirit of the king. The spirit of obedience versus the spirit of independence or disobedience. You know, they're all spirits, as it were. They're all attitudes. They're all decisions. There are things that are in our lives and they direct how we live and what we say. And Paul said, Timothy, be an example of the believers in spirit. The kind of spirit that God wants you to have, the Holy Spirit, be directed by the Holy Spirit. Why do we see rebellion, individualism, fear, and so on cropping up in people around us? People close to us, people in our families, people in our churches. What can we do to fight against these spirits that we see around us? You know what? God says be an example of the kind of things, the kind of spirits that God wants you to have. I remember a situation in Poland again where something had come up with one of the volunteers. And I didn't know what to do about it. I called the chairman of the board. I believe he was chairman at that point. And I said, this is the situation. What should I do? It doesn't seem like this fits what this young man was doing. I think he should go home. I think he should not be able to continue because of the situation. And the chairman agreed with what I was saying after I had described to him what was going on. And so I went to this young man, we talked a while, and I told him where the mission was at, on what he was doing. And unless he was able to put off what he was doing until later, that he would need to consider, or he would need to plan. I think I told him to go home early. I think his term was to be up in several months, as I recall. I don't remember the details. It wasn't too long, I don't think, but it was such that it seemed like it should be that way. So we had this conversation. He understood. He just was convinced that what he was doing was the right thing to do. Well, I don't know how long it was. I got an email or a phone call from the board chairman in the States, and he informed me. He told me that he had talked with the rest of the board, and the board felt like that it was not my responsibility to determine whether this young man should continue or not. That was the responsibility of the board. And that I needed to go back to him and tell him that, and they didn't believe he should go home. They felt like he could stay until his term was done. And I needed to go back to him and tell him that that's the way it was. I'm telling you, that was tough. That was really hard to go back and do that. But I felt like I needed to be an example, as it were, to those who were looking on, that I was able to submit to the authority that was over me, even if I didn't agree with it, even though if it didn't seem to be the right direction to go. And so I did. Be an example And I had to work to have a spirit through that time that was a good spirit. It was difficult. Be an example of the believers in spirit. Finally, the last one is be an example in faith. I'm sorry, it's not the last one. There's two more. Faith and purity. Faith, and we could talk a long time about this, I suppose. The enemy wants to paint a picture of faith that shows it as something weak, something that a strong person doesn't need. The world around us says, show me the evidence, I want to see something tangible. If all you can base your beliefs on, your choices, your decisions, if you can only base it on faith, I don't want anything to do with what you're proposing. You know, we know people in the past who were men and women of faith. George Mueller, Amy Carmichael, Jim Elliot, Claire Schnupp, and the list could go on even up into more modern times. We wish we could be that kind of faith. We could have that kind of faith. And I wonder this morning which of us will embrace the idea of faith to the point where people who look back 20, 30, 40 years down the road, they look back and they say, there was a man of faith. There was a woman of faith. Or rather, they'll say, there was a good businessman. There was a good housekeeper. And faith isn't even part of the equation. There's nothing wrong with being a good businessman. There's nothing wrong with being a good housekeeper. But Paul doesn't tell Timothy, be thou an example of the believers in business. He says in faith. Because faith has much more to it than business or anything else that we might try to substitute for that. Faith is a conscious decision to believe in a God who is always able and then to allow that decision to affect every day of my life, your life and mine. Faith in the midst of difficulties. Faith when everything points to doubt and worry. And again, there's you can think of times in your life, I can think of times in my life where this was indeed the case. And faith was all that carried us through, carried me through. But it was worth it. And again, the call is to be an example of faith. The last one in this list is an example of purity. 1 Timothy 5, you go to the next chapter, Paul says to Timothy, at the end of verse 22, he says, keep thyself pure. Keep thyself pure. Such a huge need. Such a disturbing problem in our churches. Such a daunting reality. Such an overwhelming situation many times. How can we, as people in our churches, help to stem the tide of impurity that wants to sweep over us in a way that it never has in the past? Is it control? Is it the elimination of the problem? Or the elimination of the potential for the problem? Is it ignoring the problem? Is it talking about the problem? All of these things are helpful at some level, and probably all of them are needed. But I believe what is even more powerful than that for young people who are struggling with purity, for children, young teenagers who are struggling with purity, is for there to be people older than them who are pure and holy and righteous before God, and they have an example to follow. You know, there should never be an individual in any church, be it here or anywhere, who has to throw their hands up in the air and say, well, I don't know what to do. There's nobody here to talk to. There's nobody here to follow in this area. And some of us who attempt to be good examples in this, and we see those younger than us still struggling, we're like, well, they should just follow the example. But that's not the right approach either. I suppose that goes back to being an example in word, maybe, and how we speak. But the call here is an example of impurity. God's call is for us to be that example. And purity covers so many areas of our lives. Purity has become scarred and marred by many things. In our world today, people live together. Impure language is the norm. I was over in Central Oregon yesterday and I pulled into Abby's Pizza to get a pizza to eat for supper. And a man got out of his car right beside me as I was getting out of mine. He was on the phone. And I'm telling you, the language, the impure language is horrible. I don't know who he was talking to or what he was talking about. But I heard enough to... It was just the norm. He acted like he was having an ordinary conversation. He wasn't visibly agitated. But it was rotten. You know, beliefs are a murky mixture. Purity is, is non-existent so many times. The mind is fed images that defile. Appearance is more defined by what I want. Commitment is marked by the lack of it. Purity. God wants us to be pure. Paul says to Timothy, be an example of the believers in purity. The world today needs examples to follow that demonstrate the life where conscious decision and commitment has been made. To be a person that is pure and undefiled by the world around them. But the church also needs those kind of people. And may God help you to be that kind of an example wherever you're at in your life. So I don't know how it strikes you when you think of the expression, you're an example. Does it worry you? Does it present a challenge to you? Does it concern you? Or maybe you want to say, I don't think people are paying much attention to me. I'm quiet. I stay in the background. I don't say much when we're together and when I'm in the youth group or when I'm with people. I just sit back and listen. But in that, you are being an example. You are being an example in everything that you do. You know, and when we try to make those kind of statements, those statements reflect the disconnect that we have between the way we live and how it affects others. You are an example this morning. And only God knows, only you and God, as it were, know whether you are the kind of example that you should be. God wants us as individuals to embrace the calling, to be an example not with pride and haughtiness, but with a humble reliance and dependence on God. We're not going to do it perfectly, we know that. But we intentionally endeavor to provide the example that the people around us need to follow. Because as people, I believe, because as people saved by the power of God, this is part of our calling and a very, very important part. About a year ago, I remember one, I believe it was in the evening. Again, this is a story about our little girl, Amanda. She brought a book to her mom and she said, Mom, read me a story. So Laura took her up in her lap and was reading her a story. And Amanda was right at that age where she wants to do everything. And maybe she's still there, I don't know. But she was hard into that. And she wanted to turn the pages of the storybook. And so, it didn't make any difference to Laura, so it's time to turn the page, and Amanda went like this. She licked her finger, she took her left hand, and she turned the page. And Laura's like, why did you do that? And she said, well, that's the way Dad does it. Which isn't quite true, but she had the right idea. And you know, it was just nothing important about licking your finger to turn the page. But I had read her the same book and other books, and apparently that's what I did. I have no idea. I don't remember. I don't know if I do that or not. But I shouldn't say I don't know. Yes, I do that. She knew it, and she was going to do it the same way. She's just a little girl. It's not that important. But I ask you this morning, what kind of an example are you? Are you aware of those people that are following you? Unless you are not, please be convinced that they are. And may God help you to be an example worthy to be followed. Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in charity, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. May God bless you and help you to take that message to heart for your own lives. Could we have a closing song, please?